All right. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. But again, thank you for the gifts. Let's pray. And I'm going to ask God to bless those that have given and those that couldn't give or wouldn't give or didn't give. So, well, why do you pray for those that wouldn't or couldn't give? Well, because God wants to bless them too. He's good to all. He's good to all. Amen. But if you want to be a steward of God, how many knows? He said, when we're faithful with little, He'll make us faithful with much. If you're faithful with little, you're faithful with the things of this world, finances, which I consider, I said that before, one of the lower forms of prosperity. Really. Because when we have Him, we have it all. When we know Him, when we can follow Him and be obedient to His call and His desires in our hearts, the greatest gift we could ever have. What more could we ask for that the God of the universe lives in us? And that we can communicate with Him and listen to Him for His purpose for our life and bring change to the world. You're a world changer. Amen. Even if your world maybe look like it's pretty small right now, you're still a world changer. You can change people around. You can be an example. You can be a testimony. You can see changes in the lives of those around you. Hallelujah. Why? Do you know, you understand the most important thing, the greatest thing that you could have where you work if you heard the voice of God? One word from God could change that whole day. One obedient act from the Father can change the whole course of a day. And if we just had one thing that God placed in our heart that we did that day, that's better than 1,000 things that we just decided to do. Amen. Why? Because we know we're following His purpose. Hallelujah. And to follow Him requires something. It requires something of us. You say, well, I don't have anything to give. Exactly. But we do have one thing. And that's our heart. That's our will. We can surrender our will to the Father. Our life belongs to Him. And when we surrender and we say, yes, Lord, I yield my will to You. Not just today, but every day. You know, a lot of times we want to come on Sunday morning and say, yes, Lord, I love You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Wonderful, great, awesome. And I forgot You the rest of the week. Forgot about Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. Because I went and I got all excited. Hallelujah. We want excitement. We want deliverance. We want the freedom. Woo! And we go on Monday. Why didn't it change, God? I want to see my situation fixed. I asked You to fix it. What happened? Why didn't it get fixed, Lord? I felt like I was changed. I got that feeling. I got excited. Oh, Lord, You were so wonderful. You were there. Why didn't it change, Lord? And then the next week, you went, you said, Lord, I'm tired of living this way. I know there's something wrong in me. I know there's something not right. I can't seem to get things straightened out. I can't seem to find Your purpose for me. I seem to be self-centered, selfishness in me, Lord. Or maybe it's not selfishness. Maybe You're not bound in Yourself as far as feeling bad or having those things that keep coming back. Over and over that You said, Lord, I want to see this change. We were talking a little bit about it Wednesday night. Because there is change that can take place in our life. But why do sometimes, often, in many Christians' life, I'm not saying all of you, but why is it seem like it's the same day after day, year after year? This year was the same as last year. And the next year seems to be the same, and I just don't seem to be able to get it together. Part of it is our image that we have on the inside of us. How we see God, number one, and how we see ourselves. Everybody say image. You see, the image that you have in you, we all have one. You said, well, how did you get there? Well, from your culture, from your family, from success, from failure, from your life experiences. There was an image that's placed on the inside of us. But if we can change the core image of ourselves, then we see change in our life. See, Jesus, even He, when He came, He had to realize, okay, His call in His life. You see, God didn't choose Mary for no reason. He didn't choose Joseph for no reason. You see, a lot of times we don't realize that. Maybe next week we'll get into it a little more. But Mary's life, she was raised by very, very good parents. Her parents were older and they were believing God. They hadn't had any children. They finally had Mary. They told God, we get Mary. Now, this is not in the Bible, but it's historical facts. There's quite a bit written, actually, about Mary. And some of the history, see, she was born, her parents were not super wealthy, but they were okay, doing pretty good, pretty well off, but very nice people, very godly people, and sought God, and they dedicated Mary to the Lord. They knew she had a purpose in her life. You got to remember something. When Mary was chosen, she's between 14 and 16 years of age, somewhere in there. That was it. I mean, by the time you're 13, you're eligible to be married in that day. I mean, that's pretty, you know, but Mary was taught very well. She was taught the Word of God. She had to have things memorized, just like the boys learn, the girls learn too. They had to have the Word of God in them, and she had a solid foundation. And obviously, she loved God, and she was spending time with God. And in this time with God, He says, Mary, I have a job for you. And so she was facing some things as well. And when we come to the Lord, a lot of times we have to say, Lord, He comes to us and He says, I've got a purpose for you. But you say, well, why am I not fully fulfilling that? I was talking about the image that's on the inside of each one of us. How you see yourself affects how you see God affects how we relate to Him. Let me give you an example. Now, there's some people, they see God, you know, well, if I do this, if I spend my time with God, if I pray, if I go to church and I do all the right things, God's pleased with me. But if I mess up, look out, I know He might get me. Let me give you an example in my life. I remember talking to my boss because I had learned I'm the righteousness of God in Christ, right? But if I tell him that, see, I said, well, you know, God says we're the righteousness of God in Christ. I said, therefore, I am the righteousness of God in Him. What was the response? Oh, look out for the lightning. Watch out for the lightning, folks. Why? Because they think God is going to get me because I found the truth. See, the truth is what sets us free. The image on the inside of me had been, you know, me trying to perform and be good enough for God. And that's in many people's life. Whew, okay, we are going somewhere. Hallelujah. But, you know, like, let me give you another example. Say there's a woman that, anybody ever see anybody that's been in an abusive relationship? We've all heard of them, or maybe you knew of someone. They get married and they're being abused, they're being lied to, they're being beaten. And this person does not want to change. She married, thought she's got somebody that's going to care about her, and they don't care at all. And so what do? We try to encourage her, we work with her, we try to help build her esteem, and finally we get her to a place, and praise the Lord, how many know? She gets rid of this loser. We get her out of that situation, say, you don't have to live in an abused situation like that. I'm not saying she has to divorce him, but let's just say maybe she does. She finally gets out of this situation. So her and the children are in a safe environment, but a few years later, we find her, and she gets involved with someone. She marries the same guy. Different face, same guy. Same characteristics. And he beats her, and he degrades her, and he comes against her. Why? Because the core image on the inside of her was never really changed. It stayed the same. That image that was there said, I'm not worthy of being loved and appreciated. I'm not good enough, apparently. I'm okay to be beaten on, to be lied to be cheated on, to be beaten down. And there was a core change, and we changed it for a little bit, but the core of her being was not really changed. The image on the inside did not receive a permanent change. It was temporary. And sometimes we'll see the same thing. You know, we see a lot of ministries or a lot of people, maybe I've done it myself. We work with the homeless. We finally get a couple of guys, you know. We thought, well, we're going to help you out. So we help them out. Well, first of all, you stink. So we get them a good shower. We shower them up, look good. We set it all up. We talk to some people for them and with them and get them an interview, and we get them a job. And we get them a bicycle maybe or something, some way to get there. Or we'll get them some bus passes, and they're doing good, and they're going to be working. Hallelujah. We got you, brother. You got all you need. You got your place to live now. First month was paid. All you got to do is just, you know, keep this job. And they go to that job. Maybe it's a couple of weeks. Maybe it's 3 weeks. Maybe it's, let's just say, a month, a good month. They go, and they work that job and so forth. But a month's time comes by, and we see them in the food line again. Well, what happened? We got you this job. We helped you. We helped you clean up. What happened? What's the problem? Why are you back in the food line? Well, quit the job, sold the bicycle, you know, back in the routine. Why? Why? Because the inside, the core image of who they are and how they thought was not changed. Yeah, maybe they gave their life to Jesus, but they still had this old image of who they were. That's who I am. I identify as a homeless man. That's where I'm comfortable because it's familiar to us. And sometimes in life, they're there, you want, you know, they have that image inside, It's not the way that God sees us. But we all have one. And we've all been there. At one time or another in our life, you say, well, we all have an image in there. For some people, maybe it's a good image. Maybe they were raised in a good home. Maybe for Mary it was great. Maybe for you it was great. But many times it's not so great. And we don't have the correct image of who God is. Or maybe we went to a church and they told us who God is. Well, let me tell you, God is full of wrath. He's bringing judgment, and He does, and He is, and He's just. Sometimes it's half-truth. Because the enemy likes to lie, and he said, he's out to get you. You better do what's right or else. Judgment's going to come on you. You know, something bad will happen to you. You'll have an accident. These are lies that the enemy puts out there. God's going to allow all these bad things to happen to you. And it wasn't him at all. But it's the image that was painted on the inside. Hallelujah. So each one of us gets that image of who God is in us and who we are in Him. And if we believe, you know, we hear, well, if you believe, God's going to bless you. And He will. But how many know? Have you ever heard of some preachers? They preach some good things. Well, I did what the preacher said. And nothing changed in me. It just didn't happen. So after a while, even myself, I've heard some preachers say some things. I kind of got to, well, I don't know if I believe you or not. I got to check that out. What? In the Bible. Amen. And if we want to change our image, there's things that we have to do or that we can do to change that image on the inside of us. Not temporarily, but permanently. We were talking a little bit about change and dying to the flesh on Wednesday night. We touched on it, talked about it a little bit. We were saying what? Through the Spirit, Romans 8, verse 13. It's a good verse. They're all good verses, but how many know there's all good verses in here? They all mean truth. But verse 13 says this of Romans 8, said, for if you live according to the flesh. Well, what's living according to the flesh? It's living according to wrong ideas about God or about ourselves, really. When we live according to those things that are untrue, to the lies that the enemy has brought to us or that someone has placed in our mind, and we've allowed it to build a stronghold on the inside of us, and those lies say, you're not good enough. The lie may say, you're guilty. You've done wrong, and God has not forgiven you. When actually God says, I have cleansed you. I am your very righteousness. I have taken your place. I have forgiven you. You were buried with me. And there's a identification that we really have in Christ to where now, no, I'm not bound in that sin. I've been changed. I'm a new person. But it's through the Spirit, he says, living according to the flesh or according to those lies that the enemy gave us, you'll die. It's going to produce a death in your life. Well, we don't die per se physically, right? But it affects us. We don't have success. It doesn't look like we have that victory. It doesn't look like that's coming. But how do we come to that place? How do we change that core image on the inside of us? Is there a way that we can, on purpose, begin to see that change begin to take place on the inside of us? Hallelujah. He said, right here, he said, if we live, what? But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of this body, you're going to live. Now, some of the deeds of the body are obvious. He says, you know, I mean, read there in Galatians, these are the deeds of the flesh, sexual immorality, drunkenness, you know, all of the things that we know, you know, we don't, that many people have Christianed them, you know, mostly are not enslaved to, per se. Maybe you're not enslaved to any of those things. But what else is part of the flesh? Part of the flesh is the wrong image that you have inside. That wrong picture of who we really are. That's part of the flesh too. Because the enemy uses the flesh. That is our fleshly mind. It's not our spiritual mind. They come from our fleshly part of us. And the enemy uses those things and those thought patterns to try to dictate to us, to try to get us to do wrong things, to be disobedient to God, to indulge in things. Maybe it's not necessarily, it could be, you know, it could be something serious like drugs or something like that. But most of the Christians, I don't see most of them, I'm just being honest, bound by those things. But, however, how do we change, if we want to change the core of our inner man? How are we going to change that core? He said it's through the Spirit. We die to the flesh and we live unto God. Hallelujah. I hope I'm getting this right. Maybe, you know, like I said, it's low self-esteem, could be fear, pride, arrogance. All of these things are part of the flesh. And we're all looking we're all lacking what in some area. Maybe you got 2 or 5 or 25. It doesn't matter. But you see yourself as lacking. And we say, God, come fix my circumstance. And in ourselves, we don't have the belief system to believe for it because of the image that's on the inside. Now see, when we believe the Word of God, and we see the Word of God here, yes, we can begin to have our mind renewed. It's not really our fleshly mind. That's what we're dying to, but we're living to the truth of God's mind, the mind of Christ, which really we have received when we were born again. Because just like you have a natural mind, you've got a spiritual mind. It's on the inside of you. The inward man. We've talked a little bit about that. The man, the hidden man of the heart. The heart of us, our very core of us, the very core of our being. And so those belief systems sometimes limit us. Our core belief limits us. Some say, once you're this, you know, this far, I know they say this sometimes in psychiatric people or by the police, you know, they'll say the same thing. People get so far into drugs or something, they say they'll never change. But I've seen those people change. I've seen them change, watched them change to where they become very productive, very on fire, very full of God, very good fathers and good family people, hard workers, totally changed. Why? See, those that really change get changed at the core. And yes, our core being, our spiritual man, when we're born again, it's changed just like that. Yes, we're alive to God. We're now alive to God, and we know the law of God, which is written in our heart. And we can trust that conscience, yes. But many times there's still thought patterns that have been created in our life or by circumstance, things that happened to us. Maybe you were, like I said, maybe they were beat up. You were terribly, you went through a terrible divorce. Maybe you've faced certain things that created wrong thought patterns on the inside or thoughts about God because of what certain preachers said or what you thought the Word of God said or what mom and dad said or what Uncle Joe did to you created a pattern of fear or unworthiness or created a pattern in you of laziness and envy, selfishness, all kinds of things, amen, that could be our weaknesses. So how do we do that? What would we do if there's some core issues that need to be changed on the inside of us, and many of us have had them? Fortunately, we're here, he said, through the Spirit. Through the Spirit of man. Verse 18 says this, for I consider, don't want to go there yet. Let's wait on that verse just a minute. Let's go down to 26 for a minute. It says, likewise, fortunately, likewise, or in the same manner, the Holy Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. Have you ever had any weaknesses in your life? Maybe you weren't as diligent as you wanted to be. You said, well, I keep being lazy and I don't know why. I ask God to fix me over and over and over. And He won't fix me. Why doesn't He just let that anointing fall on me? And maybe it does fall on you and for a week or so you do all right. A couple weeks, maybe a month. And then you find yourself back in the same situation. Say, I'm still being lazy. I'm still, Lord, there's still something not quite there. What do I do? How do I change that? There's some things, see, at your core that, yes, we can pray. We can get some of the enemy's fruit off of you for a while. We may be able to get some of the circumstance to change on the outside. But if that core is not changed on the inside, if there's not a permanent change that takes place, then there's not going to be lasting result. We're talking about something that'll help you. I'm not trying to give you things that aren't going to work. I've been trying a lot of things and they didn't work in my life. When I come to the truth, I'm going to speak the truth in this church. We're going to get the truth to people because we want you to be able to change. To let your core being be different than what it is yesterday so that next year you're stronger than you were this year. Yeah, maybe you see some weaknesses and you can say, but I know I have a friend, a helper. Verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. Or if you look in the King James, it says infirmities or our inability to produce the result that we want to see because I'm limited in this flesh, in my thoughts, in my inner core. I'm limited by this fleshly man that hangs on me. These fleshly desires to stay lazy. For example, I'm just giving you something simple because we've all faced it. Anybody ever here felt lazy? How many knows if you're really living by your spiritual man, what do? You don't call in and say, oh, I can't make it today. You know, I can't make it today. No. I know. I have right now, I'm dealing with a particular niece of mine that she's had 10 different jobs this year. You know, and she finally did the right thing in the last job, and she went to work even though she didn't feel well, and they sent her home. Oh, sorry, that's too many points. This is your last day. You have too many points. You came to work sick, so they sent her home. That puts you over the limit of the number of days and points that we allow. Sorry, you don't work here anymore. But how many know there was already a pattern because you already had too many points? You couldn't have that day. Why? Oh, I just can't make it today. I'm sorry. You know, what's wrong? You know, I don't feel, but that was not something that was her desire. She wants it to change. But how many of you know if the core and the core thinking doesn't change, it doesn't change. But we've got a helper. It says here in verse 26. I hope I'm making sense to you today. I hope I'm bringing it to where we see it. I know I've said it several times, but I want us to see it. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession with us with groanings which cannot be uttered. In other words, we can't pray it because we are limited. We don't know what to pray. We've been praying, Lord, all I can pray is, Lord, help me change my situation. Change my circumstance. Fix it, Jesus. Fix it, God. Come on, God. Fix it. What's wrong, God? Why won't you fix me? See, we get a frustration. But if we'll begin to say, ah, I have a helper. I've got a Holy Spirit on the inside of me. And He, I can give you a, this is a 100% promise guarantee that you can change the core being of who you are if you'll listen, if you'll do what He says. He says, if we'll begin to pray, we'll begin to spend some time praying out that mystery in other tongues, praying out who God is. See, when you're speaking in tongues, so many things are happening. Many things begin to take place, but one of those great things is He's praying everything that you are in Him. Everything that He is to you. Everything that He is what? In you and through you. You're praying the mind of God out for your life. And really what's basically taking place is you are giving Him authority to begin to work in your life. You said, why? Because the words that you are saying. See, when we speak words, we give Him permission to begin working in our life. If we'll simply give ourselves over to begin to pray in those other tongues. Hallelujah. Like I said, maybe it's an anger issue. Maybe it's jealousy issues. Maybe it's selfishness or laziness issue. And I've tried to change. I've tried to do what is right, but, and I've said to myself, I'm going to do better. I'm going to do better. That's what I'm going to do. And you do better for that week or month. But soon, as I let my guard down, just as soon, I let my guard down for a minute. Uh-oh. I come right back to the same spot over and over and over again. When I cry out to God for help, that's all I know. God, I don't know why. Maybe you don't know. I don't know why I'm messed up, God, but it seems like I'm just messed up. I can't seem to get it right. I can't seem to change me. And no, in our own power, we cannot. But we've got a helper, don't we? We read this scripture. Ironclad guarantee that when you begin to lift your voice and pray in other tongues, the Holy Spirit is going to take hold together against those weaknesses that are in your inner core and in your inner thinking and begin to produce some changes. It may not be overnight. It may take some time. But if we're consistent, we begin to develop that time praying in other tongues every day on a consistent basis. Pray while we're in the shower. Pray while you're driving your car. Quietly praying. Say, Lord, okay, what time tomorrow can I set aside that 30 minutes, that hour that I can just sit down and pray in other tongues and let you begin to pray out God's perfect will, number one, which is for you to understand who you are and who He is. Because He made you something. He didn't make junk. And I know a lot of times we hear that, but He didn't. He didn't make you no good. He didn't give you bad gifts. He gave you a gift. He has a purpose. He has a plan for you. I don't care if you're 90 years old. It's not too late. It's not too late. As long as you have breath in your lungs, it's not too late. Now, if you die, well, it might be too late. We're not going to be able to change anything then. But hallelujah, you will be going to heaven. But we want to see you fulfill some things now. Hallelujah. So we might say, I don't know why I think bad about myself or wrongly about myself or wrong about you. I don't know. But God, I don't like it. I don't like the fruit it's producing. That's the best I can pray. I don't know how to fix it. I know it's there. I see it's caused trouble in my life. I see it's caused struggle in my life. I know something is there that isn't truth. And I don't know how to change it. So many people, they go to God to change their circumstances. And many people, they go to God to try to fix them. They cry out to God, I need that touch, God. I need you to fall on me. Maybe they're running after the anointing, going to every service. Looking for someone to lay hands and pray for them. They know something's wrong. They're tired of it. It's not that they want it. It's not. They don't want it. They're just tired of it. It's causing struggle in your life. Causing a lack in our life. And running to God, please fix me. He will. He will. But it's not about running after a certain anointing. It's not trying to get God to fall on us in some service. Although He can't help. That can't help us. We can gain grace and we can gain strength from those things and from coming together as a body. But the key comes in when we make a decision to on purpose begin to spend time with the Helper, the Holy Spirit Himself, praying for us in other tongues or praying during the prayer times that we have here at church even. Even if it's an intercession, He's still going to build you up. He's still going to strengthen you. He's still going to help you because you're learning to give yourself over to Him. You are letting Him have permission to work in our life and He begins to work not just on the fruit that we see and the change we want to see in our life. But He goes to the root of the problem, see? Because the Holy Spirit knows what is the mind of God, verse 27. Romans 8:27. He knows what is the mind of the Spirit. Amen? Hallelujah. He who searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit. And because he begins to make intercession for the saints, what? According to the will of God. He'll make intercession for you. He may use you to make intercession for others, but he'll make intercession for you. And when you choose on purpose, see, there is a suffering in God. Verse 18, he said, these present sufferings are not worthy to be compared to the glory that will be revealed in you. Verse 18. What present sufferings? The sufferings of the flesh, see? Because that's exactly what this whole chapter is talking about. He said, you live after that new nature that's on the inside of you. It's already been born again. Yes. How many know the love of God was shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost? Well, why don't you just start living in it? Just live in it. Go ahead. Come on. Haven't you tried to love? See, in our own power, we have the love of God in us, but it has to grow because it's a fruit. It has to mature. It has to continually grow on the inside of us. See, the fruits of the Spirit live in us. They're in there. They're on the inside of you. But if you want them to come forward and everything that God is in you to be manifested in you to begin to see God for who He is, we've got to spend a little time praying in other tongues and giving ourselves over to that prayer, that kind of prayer that will bring a permanent change to your situation. It's not going to change just the outward circumstance. Yeah, it's good. We should pray about that. We should think about that. Yeah, I want that to change, but how is that going to happen from the inside out? See, a lot of times we want everything out here to change like that. But when it changes here, and we continue to pray, and we get the understandings, God brings us scriptures to us. The Holy Spirit begins to teach us. God loves you. The love of God begins to become real on the inside of me. I begin to gain the confidence to overcome. I begin to be changed at the very core of my being. I'm not talking about a change that lasts a week or a month, but once it's changed, it's forever. An eternal change that takes place on the inside of you by the power of the Holy Ghost, who's praying for you the very mind of God and changes you at your core being, where you rise up. You say, yes, I've got victory today. And there comes a day when it's not always a struggle for you anymore. There's not a struggle all the time. But you go from one victory to another victory to another victory day after day because I am persistent to do the things. I don't mind a little struggle, but what is the struggle? And what is my fight? To get myself into a place of prayer in the Holy Ghost, praying the very perfect will of God and causing change at my core being and saying, yes, Lord, thy kingdom come, your will is being done on the inside of me. And I'm not going to stay the same this year that I will be next year. Hallelujah. Because more of the understanding of who God is in me, who God is to me and through me, is being prayed out and poured out. And I'm giving Him permission to bring transformation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You see, I don't stay the same. You actually are a different species of being. You were not born again and stayed the same. You're not a forgiven sinner. You were freed from that sin. Your nature was changed. The old man was taken out of you. And you were given a spirit that is alive to God. And that spirit can now be taught by the Holy Spirit who is on the inside of you. And He can bring a permanent change to the core image of who you are. And you say, yes, God has saved me. Yes, God has freed me. Yes. Hallelujah. My feelings are going to change eventually. Amen. Because I'm praying the mind of God until everything that's on the inside of me and my spirit man is built up to that place where I overcome every work of the flesh. And it begins to be eradicated from my life. And I'm no longer that lazy man. Hallelujah, but I can hold a job. I'm no longer the man on the street. I'm no longer poor. I'm no longer bound. I'm no longer that struggling single mother. I'm no longer that person that's bound, but I am free. Hallelujah. Why? Because I've got the guarantee. That image in me that's been holding me back, that was stopping me, can be changed. I can be transformed from one person to a whole different person. Hallelujah. A whole different species, a whole different creature. You can live there. Amen. We can come to the place where we live there. And all these things God has for us, but it won't come by just asking for it. It has to come by changing the image of your core belief system. And one of those ways, and one of the greatest ways, is praying in the Holy Ghost. Letting the Holy Spirit take hold together with you and bring forth understanding of the love of the Father, of who God is, that He cannot lie. See, He's not a man that He could lie. He cannot lie. His word is truth and settled forever in heaven. I know, I remember, I can tell you where I was. Now it's happened a couple of times because greater understanding of His love. For who we are. Yeah, we gain a certain amount. See, we are here. And you say, well, do you walk? I could ask Mike here, you walk in peace, Mike? Oh, man, I walk in peace. Praise God, I got saved. I'm loving God. But if He allows, if we allow that core nature to be changed and we understand a greater measure of God's peace and God's acceptance of who I am, and next year we ask Him, well, I thought I walked in peace, but I really walk in peace today. Why? Because the understanding changed. The core of who He is was changed. The core of who we are is changed. And our thinking, our mind, our spiritual mind is renewed. And the lie that we believed that we weren't quite good enough to be at peace with God is flushed from our innermost being, from our flesh, from the flesh parts of us. And those lies are overcome with the truth of who I am. I am a son of the living God. I belong to royalty. Hallelujah. And I begin to understand and say, oh, from those times in His presence, from me praying in the Holy Ghost, maybe I didn't feel so much this year, but see, there are positive emotions that you're allowed to feel too. Just like negative things. Everybody understands that, right? See, there's good things. God wants you to have those good emotions. He wants you to have joy, peace. I mean, these are really more than emotions. I mean, these are fruits of who you really are. Of the real you, of the heart of you, the part of you that's been really born again. But see, when our thoughts and our core of us, when we have certain challenges, hallelujah, that we're not really overcoming. So it said here that we have in that 18th verse, he said that the sufferings we have are not worthy to be compared. Compared to what? To the glory that will be revealed in you. So there is a promise, isn't that? That there will be a glory revealed in you. But the suffering we face is not the suffering of the thing that we're fighting. It's us letting those things go. So if I'm going to work at something and gain the reward, because I say the sufferings I go through are not worthy, he said, what to be compared to that. I've done things, you know, like I said, you know, we don't mind to work or suffer a little bit if we're doing the right things. See, a lot of times people have worked at the wrong things. We try to work and be better with our fleshly motive. But he said, through the Spirit, through our new nature, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can have eternal change, permanent change. All permanent change comes from the inside out. If it's not changed on the inside, I guarantee you, it's going to show up again eventually. I mean, we can put on a good face. Amen. We can maybe do better for a while. It's like the husband and wife, you know. He says, oh, honey, I love you. You know I love you, you know. So he brings her her favorite breakfast every morning. Breakfast in bed with a little rose, of course. You know, there's your pancakes, honey, with the natural, real maple syrup that you love so much. Oh, honey, there you go. Here, I'm going to love her more. Here's your great, great deal, you know. I know we've had our differences, honey, but here you go. I really love you. So every morning I bring that to her. Finally, one morning, here we go. Is that all we have in that kitchen? Pancakes? You bring me pancakes every morning. What's wrong with you? Because by the flesh and my good intention, I was trying to change something that couldn't be permanently changed by a natural work. I have to go into the Spirit and change the person of who I am to where love is what I am. See, you can actually become, you become that love. You become that peace. You become where the healing takes place on the inside. And yeah, you may remember an incident, but you lose the pain. I can look back in different areas of my life and I said, who is that boy? Who is that man? How come he acted that way? Haven't acted that way? You know, you could have a weak moment to the flesh, but you know it. He said, no, that's not me. I was changed. You permanently changed on the inside of you. The real you is now coming forward. The person that God made you to be. I don't need that anymore. I don't need those kinds of friend people in my life. You know, suppose we got to let our people go out of your life. When they're destructive and they're hurtful and they're painful all the time, maybe they don't know how to change. Maybe they don't want to learn how to change. Maybe they don't want what you want. Well, sometimes we got to let them go. We'll let people go. We pray for them, but we let them go. Get them out. Let them be out of your life. Don't talk to them anymore. I got some people in my life. I don't talk, you know. I may be their friend, but I don't share, you know, certain areas of my life with them anymore. Because they criticize me in that. They tell me I'm this and I'm that. I don't need to hear that. I don't need that. They don't want to change. And if somebody doesn't want to change, we love them, but we have to say, well, okay, you know, that's all right. You don't have to change. You know, nobody has to. God doesn't make us, but we get to. He loves us too much to leave us like we are. And we have the ability that on purpose, just because I want to, as much as I want to, as long as I want to, I can spend time with the Holy Spirit, praying in other tongues, praying the mind of the Father out, letting Him bring forth the truth of what He has said in this word of who I am, and bring it forth on the inside of me, that I am a creature that belongs to a God that is a God of love, a God of compassion, the one that loved me, the one that set me free. Hallelujah. And I can change. My character traits begin to change on the inside of me. I'm no longer that angry man. I'm no longer that lazy person. I'm no longer the one that's bound to walk the way the enemy wants me to. But I'm free forever. Not just today, but next week and next month and next year and the year after and the year after that. Why? Because I have built myself up to a place and I've allowed the Holy Spirit to help me destroy that thought pattern of who the lies that the enemy has brought to me and that I believe, the lies that I thought were true, and they were replaced with who God is and the truth that He is. And that has set me free. And it has brought me great victory in those areas. I'm not saying every area. Sometimes we have other areas. And the Holy Spirit will show us. But you know what? If I don't quit, if I won't stop praying, hallelujah, because He knows exactly what we need. Exactly what changes we need on the inside of us. And we give God permission, the authority, to come into our life and begin to change those things when we begin to start praying, spend time with Him in other tongues. Many people wonder why they're not fixed. Hey, if God loves me, why didn't He fix me? Trust me, He wants to fix you. And He's been trying for a long time to fix us. But we have to decide, yes, Lord, once and for all, I'm going to give You permission. I'm going to let You fix me. I'm going to begin to pray out the very mind of God for my life. And I'm going to let those things die. And I'm going to be changed on the inside, the core of what I believe. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word today. We thank You for the truth that we can. And what happens, Lord? When we decide to pray in the Holy Ghost, that You build us up on our most holy faith, Father, changing us from the inside out. That, Lord, we don't have to stay lost in those things that cause us pain. Lord, that we don't have to stay lost, frustrated, Lord, and struggling. But, Lord, we can overcome from the inside out. And we can allow You to be all that You are to us, in us, and through us, Father, and bring forth that true nature, Father, of who we really are, Father, can begin to be changed and transformed, and the very image of Jesus, Lord, can come forth in our life. We thank You, Lord, for these things. And Father, today, I'm saying, let's once again spend some time praying in other tongues, looking toward maybe this next year. Say, Lord, what am I to work on? Where am I, Lord? Holy Spirit, show me. Holy Spirit, pray for me. Holy Spirit, take me to these places. And I open my heart to You. I let You work the work on the inside to bring a permanent change. No longer bound by these things anymore. What has held me back is not going to hold me back anymore. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's decide. Say, Lord, okay, Lord, I'm going to spend a little more time. I'm going to write down what time tomorrow, where I'm going to pray, how much time I'm going to pray tomorrow. Write that down today, or maybe it's this afternoon. I'm going to spend some time, Lord, with You and with the Holy Spirit, because I'm tired. I don't want to stay the same. I want to change. I don't know about you, but it's good news to know that we can on purpose, decide to let Him help us change. Amen. Permanently. Amen. Sometimes we'll pray for a while and we'll get a certain amount of change, but keep praying. Don't quit. Keep going till we get that fullness and we see it and we can see it operating in our life. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God.